Diddy and Hawthorne in the in-between, or DH and I. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to our podcast about the relevance of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem Podcast. Heute ist für mich als deutsche Sprecherin sehr interessant. Wir werden über meine Fortschritte beim Deutschlernen sprechen und darüber, was ich tue, um meine Fähigkeiten zu stärken. Today is really interesting for me as a German speaker. We are going to talk about my progress with learning German and what I'm doing to keep my skills going and strong. And we're going to talk about what's next, because I am now fluent in German and it's been a wild ride, but so fun. And I think I get asked this all the time about why it was I decided to learn German, and I don't really have a great answer to that question, though I get asked it again quite often. And I just sort of say, my father's Korean, my mother's Norwegian. I didn't want to pit them against each other, so I chose something that was my own. And that's sort of true. And I sort of have these connections with German going back from when I was very young. I went to a German elementary school, and just sort of, I've had German come up again and again in my life, and it's just something that has become such a staple and so important to me as I've been learning more about this community that I've joined and learning more about the people who I can now communicate with in a way that is very organic and natural and very, I think, fun for both me as a second language speaker and as a sort of adoptive member into this German speech community, and for people who are native speakers learning more about me communicating with them. But I will say, and this is something I always sort of add to my answer to this question of why I learned German, is that something completely unanticipated and something that totally blindsided me when I learned and became fluent in this wonderful, beautiful language, is that I never expected to find the community and the people and the culture that now mean so much to me and are such a big part of my life. I never expected to find that in German. And I definitely did. That was sort of an unintentional consequence of my learning that language. So in terms of my update, I am heading towards native fluency. I'm at a C1, like C1 kind of level, if you know the German grading system. I have taught a few German classes, actually, a few beginning classes, with some of my tutoring students will ask, will you talk with me in German? Will you teach me beginning German? I have done that and I feel comfortable doing that, and it's so much fun, and it's definitely a big responsibility though. I wouldn't recommend it for people who aren't very comfortable with their skills and their skills as a teacher as well. You have to have some experience teaching, I think, before you start teaching in your second language. That's just my opinion though. I've done some research in German as well, looking at primary sources in German, which has been so fun and really, I think, wholesome for me and just sort of fulfilling to share my interests in research and in linguistics in that way with my second language. I'm also gearing up for a really long study abroad trip, whether that's a year, whether that's like a longer with a master's degree. I don't know yet because of COVID, but knock on wood, I'm heading to Germany soon. And to gear up for that, I am taking a couple of pretty in-depth research classes. One of them is on Nietzsche, which is really exciting. So that's where I'm at with German. Next, I am going to learn French. I have decided this. We will be doing a 24-hour French episode to continue along with our language series and learning strategies and stuff like that. So look out for that episode. In terms of my goals here, and this is really the important part for all of you who are learning a second language, who are trying to get better or trying to maintain the section here about goals, and then also what I'm doing to accomplish those goals and how I'm breaking those goals down into steps. That's going to be very important for all of you. My first goal is just maintenance. And by this I mean just making sure that I'm not losing vocabulary, that I'm not losing my skills, that I'm not losing my confidence, especially with a language. I think especially when you don't have a speech community readily available to you, it's really hard to express yourself in German and or in whatever second language you're trying to learn, or even if it's a first language and you're in an English-speaking country now or something like that. It's sometimes really hard to keep those skills up in that language because there's just no motivation to, and there's no opportunities to, really. For me, maintenance should happen especially with writing and grammar in German. Writing is probably my hardest, like, trouble area in the whole language. I love speaking. I've spoken to many people and I have no filter when doing so, but that does somewhat come at a cost to my writing skills. And so I'm getting better at writing. It's not that my writing is totally piecemeal or anything. I just rely on a lot of crutches when I write, and I don't find myself relying on any crutches in any other area, not with listening, not with speaking, of course, not with reading either. So it's the one skill that I just am really trying to maintain and, if possible, learn more about. The second goal is more of like a native resources thing so that I can prepare for living in country. So I'm trying to indulge myself in as many native resources, but basically putting my brain in German mode for as much time as I'm able to every single day so that I can prepare for operating in German again. This is at like finding people that I can converse with online, anywhere, of course, that is safe during these weird times. And also just podcasts, YouTube videos, anything that I can do to get myself mentally in a space to practice this operation in German. That was the hardest thing for me when I went abroad before, is I think the endurance of it all, just having the self-imposed obligation to operate 24/7 in German is really intense, but I find it to be one of the most helpful ways to learn a language when you're in country, is just to refuse to speak English or to speak your native language. That to me was really vital to my intensely quick progress with this language. The third goal is memorization. I have been memorizing like crazy. I think my patrons know about this. Shout out to my patrons, relevanceofliterature.com/Patreon to learn more, or the other way around, patreon.com/relevanceofliterature to sign up. It's only $2 to start. But really, my experience with memorization during quarantine, that was one of my quarantine projects. It has changed my entire life and my way that I conduct my daily existence. So when I started memorizing, I just went through a few quick German poems, and I, like, Einst von Bertolt Brecht was one. It's only two verses, so it was really quick and easy. Then I went and memorized Lied vom Kind sein von Peter Handke, and that's a 4-minute long epic of a poem that just repeats these lines like, als das Kind Kind war, like every verse. And so, and it was just, that was a poem that really spoke to me. So I memorized things that just really speak to me, and that really have changed my perception about life or my view of writing. I'm memorizing the first part of The White Album by Joan Didion now, that starts with, we tell ourselves stories in order to live. And it's, all of those things are great, and it's great to just have them in me and carry them with me, even when I don't have an iPhone on hand, and be able to, it's a cool party trick as well, just be able to spew some memorized things, especially in a foreign language that impresses people. I'm just kidding. But really, it started to affect my daily life, as I said, as well. So there's often, beforehand, I often walked into a room and had no idea why I walked into that room, what I was looking for, what I was about to do. Nowadays, though, when that happens, I just ask myself, what was I doing here? And I automatically remember things like phone numbers and addresses, I remember super offhand, just randomly now. Passwords, I remember better. Just all of these things that I felt like were lacking before in my memory, especially, you know, I'm quite young, so it was alarming to me that I just couldn't remember these things without writing them down. All of those things have started to come back, and I feel like I'm growing another appendage in my brain just for memory, which is fantastic. So memorization and keeping that up and making sure that I'm not losing, especially Lied vom Kindsein, that took me 4 months to memorize. And I literally every day, every single day, it was just me with the memorization, with the website I was looking at the poem on, and just working through it and trying to find different patterns and things. I could do a whole episode on how I memorize things because it is a process and it's something you learn. It's a technique and a practice, very much like language learning, that is just so separate. But yeah, memorization. My fourth and last goal is to extend my creative and expressive abilities with German. This is definitely something that I've been accomplishing lately with writing. I'll get into how and what I'm doing in this like weird quarantine space now. But this creative abilities goal is something that's really important to me personally. I'm a very creative person. I think that German is a language that I can use to my advantage. I don't really believe in that adage that you are two different people or like three different people depending on the amount of languages you learn. Like, I'm not a different person in English than I am in German, but I do think that I am able to express some really cool things in both languages and that I'm able to say things, different things, beautifully in both languages. And I want to explore that and dig into that a little more. So that's a more vague goal, but I think, again, that I'm starting to accomplish this, especially in my writing practice. So, adaptations for quarantine. I think that in normal life, it's almost easier to do a language practice, a language deep dive, especially if you're just by yourself. To me, at least, it was easy to set up a space for that. It was easy to put that in my schedule, to go to a coffee shop every day at this certain time. You know, don't buy coffee, obviously, but just get water and, you know, meet some friends or do what you need to and just grind with that language for a set amount of time. Quarantine, though, and home office and having the same space for every single task of your day is a drag, and I think the motivation has to come from somewhere deep inside of you if you do decide to do more language practice this way. For me, that meant putting away the grammar books. Before, I had a great system going where I would just go through like a lesson or two in my German grammar books and learn about grammar and refresh my skills in certain areas. I can't do that during quarantine. And so I have adapted in different ways. First of all, I think consistency is so important for this. If you do something every day, it's going to be way more valuable than doing one thing every 2 weeks and then every 3 weeks and then every month and then never. Even if you spend 2 hours a month, that's great. You're just doing that big chunk a month. But inconsistency, I think breeds a lot of guilt as well. When you're like, oh, this language or this practice means so much to me. It might mean a future master's program or a future job. So being able to come to the table and say, actually, I can commit to 5 minutes a day or I can commit to an hour a week on this and I'm gonna be consistent with that. Not having the emotional stress of having to do that and just setting a goal and setting a practice that you can commit to and you know you can commit to and you're not stressed about committing to, that's going to be so important for your longevity with this. That is my tip of the day. So for my daily exercises during quarantine, I do all this. I incorporated it into my morning routine, which is pretty strong at this point. I really love my morning routine. It's something where I get up now and I just love the routine.
when I am in classes and getting really in depth into research and things, I simplify my morning routine, but a hefty morning routine during quarantine is something that makes me want to get up in the morning. So we'll see about adapting this as we go along to maybe harder coursework, etc. But I do daily exercises with German. In the beginning of quarantine, like March, April, I was reading articles from the Süddeutsche Zeitung, which is my favorite German newspaper. It's a little bit more conservative leaning. It is very investigative, and I really love just the way that they've set it up. I love the aesthetic. I love the things that they talk about on the newspaper. All of those things were very important to me because I was spending large chunks every morning with this newspaper, with these people. And it got to the point where I recognized the writers of these news articles, which was pretty cool. So I would read an article, two articles a day, just from the online website or the magazine, and just go through them. In terms of how I go through German articles, that could also be an episode in itself, just because it's a process where when you're fluent enough, you can read it, right? And you might need to read it twice. You might need to Google Translate a section just to make sure, look, I'm not a professional. I don't have the terminology or the skills to uncode this terminology that I might need to understand the article. So it's a really good process, and I'd love to work through that with you guys and go through an article and say, okay, what is my strategy for looking at this? Also, just in-person magazines. When I was in Berlin, I sent home a bunch of magazines just because I knew I would go through them. I love architectural design magazines like AD. I have a couple of those. I have a couple of other magazines that are like popular magazines, but in German, like German Vogue, for example. Just other coffee table books and things I love looking through in the mornings. It's something light, and it's something that's really fulfilling for me to do and sort of like soul cleansing. But it's also very strategic in that I'm practicing German when I wake up every single morning. Nowadays, I am getting ready for coursework to start soon. It will be started by the time I upload this podcast, but getting ready, gearing up, I had to change some things about my morning routine, moved back to Chicago here, and what I've been doing in the mornings is writing. And I think this really suits my goal, as I said previously, of learning to express myself better creatively. And I've been writing short stories in German since I was probably a B1 level or thereabouts. That was when I had enough vocabulary to do it. That was really the only constraint. Like, I feel like I would have been writing much earlier if I had the vocabulary to do it. And I won a couple writing competitions, like just small ones, earlier in the year. And I just decided, you know, I want to keep writing in German. I think this is a really great outlet for me. I think that there's some themes that I just have been grappling with that I haven't completely tied up yet, such as guilt. Like, German guilt is such an interesting theme to me, especially when you're looking at the modern day. And recovery and reparations, those are all, again, just super interesting to me as an adoptive member into this community. And so in my writing, it's been a lot about fun and like learning how to express myself and saying things and writing things that I wouldn't necessarily say or write in English, because to me those are maybe like stereotypical things to say. But when I'm figuring out how to craft these pieces and these statements in German, I'm like, oh, that's actually a really cool way to formulate that. Or maybe looking at it in German changes the way that I think about it, changes the process somehow. So writing every morning, I just write like a paragraph to the story that I'm working on a story called Liebesaffäre right now. Including in editing and looking at writing every morning has been a really fantastic change to this morning routine. I also memorize every morning. That's another part of my morning routine. I'm doing Joan Didion right now. I think I'm gonna go and memorize some of Nietzsche's stuff just to get in the mood for my coursework. And I love Nietzsche. He's just such a complex, multifaceted person. He has a lot to do with music as well, and just his relation to opera, and also he was a composer. Don't know if you guys knew that. That's a fun fact of the day. In terms of getting to the other goals here, I have been taking conversation classes. I've just been doing free ones. I know a lot of people who are students, obviously, so just talking to them, saying, hey, have you heard about any like community conversation classes in languages that I can take? And I've taken a few through those or through different universities in Germany or offering seminars. Those are super, super helpful for me, not only to meet new people and meet people who are similar to me in that they're Americans, but they want to live in Germany one day or go there one day. And just that sort of bonding experience of being in a language class together, it's really like nothing else. You can read David Sedaris's Me Talk Pretty One Day just to get a sense of how that is. But for me, before I actually participated in one of those experiences and after, it was a completely different reading experience because I could finally commiserate with a lot of what Sedaris is writing. He has some excerpts in his Holidays on Ice book as well that are pretty amazingly written. In terms of preparing for those classes, I think it's really important to get used to transitioning between English and German and English. You know, first language and second language, second and first language. Transitioning is often really hard for people because it's a completely different way and mode of apparatus almost when you're trying to think about something in English and really process it as someone with an English brain would versus processing something in a German way with this sort of different construction. It can be very difficult again. So what I like to do before conversation classes is have a good half hour window of just immersing myself in more German, watching YouTube, doing a few podcast episodes that are short, or writing a couple things, or getting prepared by writing a couple sentences out and trying to see, okay, maybe also predicting what we might be discussing in class that day, just writing a couple sentences about like what I would predict certain people in the class to say, or certain arguments to be regarding articles that we were supposed to read. So taking that time just really to get prepared and really immersed into this new modus of apparatus is just important for me personally when I'm considering transitioning between English and German. I think another thing that's really important as well is not being afraid of being embarrassed in class. I know especially if you're in a class with a lot of smarter people or people who are more advanced than you or yada yada, it becomes really embarrassing really quickly when you start missing your genders and all this and your syntax is all over the place. But I think that just not being afraid of that immediate gut reaction of embarrassment is going to be such a tool for you as a language learner. I know certainly for me, a lot of my quick learning with languages is harnessing my embarrassment and using it as almost fuel for me to do better next time. And for me, a lot of my embarrassing experiences I remember with peak crystal clarity from Berlin, and those experiences helped completely shape and completely change my study of the German language in general and how I speak it today. So I think, again, just not being afraid of being embarrassed is so, so vital. And finally, I'm going to leave you with a more practical tip just about being open and aware of when you can use that language. For me, I slip German into conversations all the time. Like, I accidentally said klingt instead of, like, sounds in a conversation today. Like, that sounds funny. In German, we would say, das klingt interessant, or das klingt aber lustig, or, you know, so that kind of slip happens to me a lot, but I also intentionally incorporate German into conversations, especially to be funny or to use German that English speakers typically know and they just don't realize that it's German that they're using. I have incorporated German into my reading practices. I'm always reading a German book and at least one English book, usually like three English books and one German book, because it typically takes me so long to get through a German book that it's not even funny. And so I am just doing these sort of practices and adapting and finding things that are fun to me. You know, if you like sports, watch Fußball, like watch German soccer. If you like movies, watch German films. For me, I read a lot in German. I'm writing, of course, a lot in German. And when I'm out and about, a lot of my German practice nowadays, and especially before quarantine and all these things, a lot of my practice was me going out and about in Chicago and striking up conversations with random people and saying, oh my gosh, you speak German? Ich kann Deutsch. And just sort of falling into those serendipitous moments with as much grace as possible, and just using your language skills, and again, not being afraid of that. If your stranger friend doesn't understand what you're saying, or you misrepresent yourself, or something happens that's a little bit weird in that one-off instance, it's not going to matter in the long run. What matters is that you were seeking opportunities to practice this way of expressing yourself that you wouldn't have gotten if you hadn't taken that leap of faith and struck up that conversation. I remember one time I was in this beautiful little neighborhood of Chicago that I visit quite often, and I went into this dirndl shop, and I thought, like, what beautiful dresses, you know? I sort of was talking to the owner of the shop, and it was a very cold winter day, and the owner of the shop goes, oh gosh, you speak German? I was like, yeah, ich kann Deutsch. And we were talking about, you know, my study abroad to Munich and how I bought my first dirndl in Nuremberg when I was there, and just sort of this shared love of the culture and our experiences. And she was talking about her kids and her cousins who were going to the LMU as well, and it was just a really lovely conversation, and that was one of many that just stick out to me when I think about these different opportunities that have come at me, but that I had to receive nonetheless in speaking German. You know, it was my choice that day to say, oh yeah, I can speak German, let's do this. I could have easily just continued in English, but it was something that, again, I didn't have any fear about or embarrassment about. I'm sure I made grievous mistakes in all of those conversations that I am remembering. But again, I was not afraid and I went for it, and it ended up really, really working in my favor. So that is all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed this very long, rambly conversation about how I'm doing in German, what strategies I think you should do if you are in a similar place with German or another language, just general life updates about quarantine and morning routines. This episode has a lot of gems in it. I will link some episodes in the show notes, relevanceofliterature.com/notes, about other episodes I've done regarding German and language learning. A 24-hour series seems to be quite popular recently, so I will link some of those episodes down below as well. As always, if you have comments or questions, leave them for me wherever you can. Until next time. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.